Welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. We're going to try our best to make it so much better for you. This is our season finale, season 13. I can't believe it. 13 seasons. Well, tonight in Hot House, breaking down everything everyone's talking about. Jonathan Majors, there's an update in his case against his ex-girlfriend, Gracie Jabari. And then Oprah, she has dodged and claimed that she's on Ozempic. You know, she looks amazing right now. So find out what she has to say about that. And then Adele is saying, don't cover her songs. You didn't write them. You can't sing like her. Find out what people were saying about that. And did you hear about the 26-year-old woman who tried to burn down Dr. Martin Luther King's birth home? Find out what happened with her. And then Diddy, he has another accuser. This is the fourth accuser in the last few weeks that are saying that he raped her. And then LeBron James is congratulating his son. You know, he had cardiac arrest earlier this year, Bronny. And he played his first game since then. We're monitoring over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, of course, our official website, thestephennightshow.com. When we come back, the question of the day and hot topics. Right back after this.
Tonight is all eyes on me. Everything's gonna be alright. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty, pretty young thing. I'ma ask her to take my hand. Head to the floor, head, we gon' dance. We get there, best believe you're gonna do what you step. Ain't no drama in here, so don't stress. Step to the right, then slide to the left.
Happy holidays. Yeah. Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Angie Stone, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. Keep it locked.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. This is our season 13 finale. I can't believe it's been so long. But yeah, the year went by fast, and we have made it. One of my drawers over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and of course our official website is StephenKnightShow.com. Rather watch is go to our YouTube channel, Stephen Knight Show. We can also get our merch. Please make sure you register to vote. Very important. We have some huge elections coming up. And again, our prayers are always with the people in Israel and Palestine. There are a lot of innocent victims being killed. So we're thinking about them. Happy holidays, everyone. This is December. I can't believe it's December 11th, which also is my brother's birthday, my little brother's birthday. So shout out to Aaron. And again, this is our final episode of 2023, season 13. Chica, let me ask you, because you've been there since the beginning. Can you believe it?
It doesn't seem like 13 years, though. Seriously, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
I guess it's something said about, you know, doing something that you like to do. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
And Lania was a friend of the show years before becoming family. Well, she's always family, Chica, I guess. But Lania, what are your thoughts when you think back 13 seasons?
Well, at least I didn't resign like I did somewhere else.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm good.
And you know
what? To
be fair, Lania has been here from the beginning because she's taking this journey with me. So she's been around.
And Lania has fans. You know, I had someone that told me the other day, I can't wait to hear what Lania got to say about this topic. So yeah, but no, she's been a great addition. All right, well, our question of the day is, what is something that you're not taking into 2024? I'll start with you, Lania.
My previous employer.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. What about you, Chica?
So everybody's been floating this new term around standing on their business.
Right.
Mine is, I'm going to stand on my standard. I'm not going to accept anything that I don't think that I'm less deserving of.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I think, you know, I was talking to a friend today and I was looking back at the year and I made a conservative decision in March, my birthday, of making changes professionally and personally. And I have been proud of what I've changed. And some of the things that happened in that change, I wasn't expecting. But I think it all stemmed from me making that decision to make these changes. And so I think that for me, I was thinking about this question, that for me, I'm not taking things that don't sit well with me in 2024. So, but I'm very proud of y'all. And tweet us at home. Let us know what is something you're not taking with you in 2024. Let me read some of the answers we got earlier today. You know, we got some people that said alcohol. They're not taking alcohol with them in 2024.
I don't have.
I know. More power.
I mean, maybe for a couple of months, but I don't have.
Well, I was just dry January, but I don't know the whole year.
That might work.
Yeah, I did dry January. I even tried to recruit some people over Thanksgiving to do it with me, but it got quiet. but we have alcohol, we have some people, we have men that text, what are you doing? We have poor eating habits, we have so much. Some people said, not sure now, but I'm holding tight to what I do have. Some people said smoking things, and I don't mean meat. They said, and yeah, we got a lot of good responses. So let us know what you are not going to take with you in 2024. Stephen.
Stephen, can I just say something real quick?
Yeah.
I don't know about anybody else, but there is one more thing.
Okay.
One thing I'm not taking into 2024
is not acknowledging my progress, my accomplishments, and my victories, and minimizing myself for other people so they can make themselves feel better. I'm no longer doing that. Oh, and I'm going to learn how to do TikTok.
Well, you know, listen, I've watched you on, since you've been on this show as a full-time person, you've had aha moments where you, I do that. I'm not doing that anymore. And so I'm proud of you because I see the greatness in you. And Lanier came out here last year. We had a blast. Was that last year or was that this year?
No, that was, I think it was the year before last.
I think it was last. It was last year. I think it was last year.
Last year?
Yep. And we had a blast. And you know, again, I've known you virtually, but to hang out with you in person, who wouldn't want that light? Wasn't that light? And Chike knows it because he's, you know, y'all been brother and sister forever. But like, I saw that light. And so I'm glad that you're taking that on.
I'm too gangster. I'm not crying. I'm not doing that.
Don't cry.
So Stephen, Lanier is to me what Miss Parker is to you.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
You should hear what he calls me, Stephen.
Shut up.
I love y'all together. All right, y'all ready to get into these hot topics?
Sure. Yes, sir.
All right, so Jonathan Majors. So the final day of the assault trial involving Jonathan Majors and his ex-girlfriend, Gracie Jabari, new information has been released. According to People, text messages between the actor appear to admit physical violence against Gracie 6 months before he was arrested in March. So in an alleged text from September 2022, the actor said to Jabari, "I fear you have no perspective of what happened. If you go to the hospital, they will ask you questions. And as I don't think you actually protected us, it could lead to investigation, even if you do lie and they suspect something." So text messages, which were displayed to the jury and read into the record by Jabari, state that she assured Majors that she would not blame him for causing her an injury in her head. She said, "I will tell the doctor I bumped my head." Now, Jabari cried as she read aloud the messages to court. Jabari could not continue as she cried. And the assistant director, district attorney, finished reading her message stating, "I will tell the doctor I bumped my head if I go. I'm going to give you one more day, but I can't sleep and I need some strong painkillers. That's all. Why would I tell them what happened when it's clear I want to be with you?" So again, you know, he said that he didn't, that she was the aggressor, he wasn't the aggressor, but we've had several women come out and said that he has been violent towards them. Do you think, Chike, these messages are damaging?
I really honestly can't say. Can I honestly say I cease to care about this anymore? It's just like noise in my ear at this point.
Yeah.
So one of the things for me about these stories is that we get so affixed on these people's lives and the interworkings of what's going on with them. Yeah. And, you know, they're human just like we are, and they're going through their stuff, except they're going through it with a greater lens than we do. Mm-hmm. And there's been something that's been coming upon me, not to get philosophical, you know, as of, you know, the later of this year. And it's been, mind your spiritual business.
Right.
Just mind your business. Mm-hmm. That man's going through some stuff. I don't know how it's going to work out. He has a career. I'm sure that the woman has a job. I'm sure everybody involved has other stuff going on. This is a chapter out of their lives. I can't.
Yeah. I can't. There was a man, he turned 103, 106, something like that. And his secret to longevity was eat well and mind your business. And 103. Lanier, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think he can bounce back from from all this?
I'm not sure. You know, what we do on here is we give our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give anything that says what we are saying is a fact.
Right.
We give our opinions. That's right. What we do. Mm-hmm. And opinions are like booty holes. Everybody got one.
I got one, right.
So the fact that we are strong, you know, we stand on whatever opinion that we have about what's going on, I will say this, you know, as a Black man going through a situation, and I don't know how he gonna come out of it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, this text doesn't really give any context.
Right.
Again, this could have been something to where she went crazy. He may have tried to contain her or whatever. You know, there's always different scenarios that could have played out and why that conversation happened the way that it did.
Right.
We will never know.
Mm-hmm.
But it could come out right now that he did nothing. She lied. And it was just all a setup. He's still going to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
Period.
That's true.
He's still going to be the bad guy. And, you know, if he's able to bounce back, I mean, you know, only time and the Lord
yeah.
Gonna be able to work that out for him. So, you know, that's just how it's going to go. Because it was shady from the beginning, but mm-hmm. this whole situation with her leaving the country, all kinds
right.
of stuff.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. It was shady from the beginning. And it makes it hard for real victims. When people don't want to believe you when things have happened,
yeah.
When you just had people who got into a fight or an argument, and you know something went left, but mm-hmm. you know God bless them.
Let me ask you a question, because I've been seeing a lot of scrutiny against Megan Good. You know, they're apparently dating now, and she's been showing up for these court appearances, and people are questioning, is this a real relationship? Is this a media thing? Why would she's someone who's beloved in our community. Why would she do this? What are your thoughts on that?
Let me say this. These same people that's talking about Megan Good, they don't understand, were the same people when she married that man who was a pastor. They criticized and condemned her from here until Mount Rushmore. The yeah. same people. They knew each other before. They it wasn't like they just met each other.
Okay.
They had already had some type of friendship or whatever, you know, before.
Mm-hmm.
They are two grown people.
Right.
And at the end of the day, half them people out there complaining, y'all got about what? A couple baby daddies? What y'all doing? Like, y'all out here acting a fool. Y'all probably doing this seal and twerk challenge right now.
Right.
Trying to condemn somebody. You know what I mean? And you have no room. You yeah. can have an opinion, but you have no room to talk about anybody. And the only reason that you do is because it's public knowledge. And everybody think that what they saying is important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, what I'm saying is cool, but you don't have to take it for face value, because I'm not living those people's lives.
Right. And
everybody needs support at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ride for my people if they're going yeah. through something. So he knows who ride for him during this situation. I guarantee you he know who
yeah.
ride for him through this situation. So, yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Can I just add on something?
Yeah.
Yeah, to what Linnea said, she triggered a thought. And, you know, I don't know about you guys. I know Linnea knows what I'm talking about. But in my household, I was raised with the knowledge of the Black tax. The Black tax means whatever you're doing 100%, you have to do it 200% in mm-hmm. order to just
yeah.
be
yeah.
equal.
Yeah.
And so as you were talking and I was listening, I was thinking about the case and thinking about how Johnny Depp just went through the same thing. And, you know, he's going back and forth with his woman. What I honestly see happening is that he gets known as, oh, isn't that actor that had that case with the girl, mm-hmm. with the thing? as opposed to him retaining his name and being able to stand on his name and get work as like Johnny Depp will. Do you see the difference?
Yep. Absolutely.
And he won that case. He won his case.
He did. Mm-hmm. Like, he absolutely did. Yeah. So, and you see the difference. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that whole Johnny Depp situation.
And they released some defaming things.
Like, they like, he got cut from, listen, that man got cut, like, Pirates of the Caribbean is him.
Yeah.
Based off the bait, and y'all automatically, it's just automatically, you did it.
Yep. I agree.
I would sue everybody.
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 All right, well, Oprah Winfrey, she's looking amazing these days. If you haven't seen any recent pictures, she lost a lot of weight. She's 69 years old. She was recently at the Los Angeles premiere of The Color Purple. And so because she's lost so much weight, there have been a lot of rumors about Ozempic use. Now, apparently, Oprah did a special on her network on OWN earlier this summer. And she was saying how, she had knee replacement surgery and she had considered doing Ozempic. Mind you, she was overweight. She had a stock in Weight Watchers, but she had considered doing Ozempic, but she thought that would be that was kind of cheating her way of losing weight. And so now it's come back up because she's lost so much weight. Is she doing it? And she says she hasn't done it, but a lot of people are thinking she has done it. And she was pretty much saying that she wanted to get healthy. She's 69 years old, and she wants to continue this pattern of the weight loss, being healthier, you know, et cetera. She's mentioned that she had been on the treadmill that morning. But again, I saw people on social media call her Ozempra because she has lost so much weight. Looks great. Let me ask you, do you think that if she did take Ozempra, which is a diabetes weight loss medication, is it wrong for her to have taken it? Or is it because she already made the comments about, and she did backtrack from those comments. She said that people should do what works best for them. But do you think it's an issue if she did take Ozempic? Let me ask you, Lanier.
I mean, full transparency. I looked into it. I ain't gonna lie. Mm-hmm. But when I looked into it, it was another name being presented from the company that I had talked to.
Right.
They were promoting weight loss. Mm-hmm. So when I, you know, I did my due diligence, I reached out to my doctor. I'm like, yo, listen, I was considering something. Can you tell me more about this medication? And what she told me, I'm like, well, that ain't the name that she said. She's like, well, it goes by, you know, there's different names.
Right.
That it goes by, but this is really what it is. And you know, this is what it does. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't want that. I don't want nothing close to taking somebody's diabetic medication. I don't give a damn if it helps you lose weight, because I don't want diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that's what I'm fighting not to get. My dad has diabetes. Mm-hmm. I don't want diabetes. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to take no medicine. I don't give a damn if it helps you lose weight or not. I'd rather do crack. So, yeah, I mean, going back to Chike's point about standing on business,
right.
If you ain't going to get no business, don't even comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Because you're doing something. Unless she's Chef Babette, who is fierce at the age of 73 and she's a vegan, you're doing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Chike, your thoughts.
So, I want y'all to really know, with everybody that lives in this country and some that live in some others know, Auntie Oprah is about her Skrilla. If she was on Ozempic, we would know, because there would be a check. She would not be doing that without no money. First of all. Second of all, who's to say that's what she's on? She's Oprah Winfrey. She's a billionaire. There's other things going on out here. She found her way.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, it's working for her. She looks damn good.
She looks great. She looks great.
She can share. I like.
I purposely think she's on it. I think she's on it. And I think a lot of people are on it. The thing was, so I know some friends that have gotten on Ozempic or something similar to it, and they've had great results. I will say this. I know someone who works out, work out 5 days a week. You're not losing that much weight doing a treadmill. You're not. I'm sorry.
I want to say something as a medical professional.
Good.
I want to say something. So what I need everyone to know, as wonderful as all of the results are, because they are wonderful, some people are out here looking great, living their best lives. Most of the medicine that's doing that is meant for diabetes.
Right.
And if you do not have diabetes,
right,
why would you take a diabetes medication?
Mm-hmm.
And if you take any type of medication, whether it be an aspirin, anything that you take that is not of your body, that's medication, there's always a side effect to it. So please, I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just telling you to fully examine and do your research and then do some more research and then some more research before you commit yourself to that.
I agree. And they actually have some new medication that does have some positive side effects that they've worked on since, you know, everyone's on this trend of Ozempic or whatever else. But whatever Oprah's doing, she looks great.
But it's not. Can I just say that this whole medicine thing, for the people that are using it for weight loss and they don't have diabetes, it's causing a shortage in diabetes
for people that need it. Yeah.
For people who need it for their diabetes. And it's kind of like it's kind of like tantamount to going on a crash course diet where those do not work. We've had a lot of those things over the years.
Yeah.
And people, all right, you look great. Kind of look like you had gastric bypass surgery, because people walk around with the bobbleheads like people do when they get those type of surgery. So they have to keep in mind, like Chike said, you know what I mean? And, you know, this is temporary. I can want liposuction all I want, but if I'm not going to put in the work to maintain, it means nothing. So all these chicks out here that got all these BBLs and DDLs and whatever, y'all got to maintain all that. And you know you ain't going to the gym. You got to maintain it with this and going back to that doctor that you were seeing. Let's keep it all funky. Yes. But, you know, who am I? I'm about to eat a piece of cake when we get off here.
That's very true, though. Very true. And I know people that have gotten off of it. One burger, you back.
Wow. So that means basically you have to take medication for the rest of your life.
No. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, find out what Adele's saying about people that sing her song, and a woman who tried to burn down Martin Luther King Jr.'s home, his birth home, right back after this.
Deserve none of my energy. You and I are nothing but history. thought you were the one, but you wasn't. Got my heart broken, learn from it. I'm done playing your childish games. I'm the queen and I always reign. See you seeing and now you're feeling played. I watched your moves and now I'm highly trained. See, hurting you, I have nothing to gain. It's just your time for you to feel the pain. It really hurts to have to be this way. Two hearts felt the ricochet.
Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Yeah, just that soulful shit I be talking about, bro.
Facts.
P.A. Dre, what up? Let's get to it. Look, I'm out west yelling Jersey like I'm close to home. Was on the block like Moses, this ain't Post Malone. We quoting poems that we never had to plagiarize. Stepping to Goliath till I bring him down to David's size. A shaking fries, a complimented if you talking beef. Penny per thought is even less when your talk is cheap. These subtleties are befuddled. Nigga, walk with me. Even when I got the pen sealed, they won't sharpen me. They telling tales like these shits are really cautionary. The flow water, but really I be off you fairies. Nothing's arbitrary. I put that on my mama's soul. I'm a man before my sisters play my mama's role. And I'm Nicole, so don't stress where that diamond is. Watching me maneuver like I'm a Sean with the Heimlich is. King of my city if you ask, but they saying them the man trying to give me the keys that I gave to him. I played it with and told Lee I'm talking honest. Plus I got a few bucks like I'm Middleton and Giannis. The road was turbulent, I knew it'd be a little bumpy. I ain't Johnson, but this rap shit got me living comfy. I get it monthly, like, what you end the sentence with? Rap niggas is goofy, they always on some friendly shit. But turn your back and like honor, yeah, they been a dick. Fuck them though, let's appreciate this penmanship. Let's appreciate this penmanship.
Yeah, talk to him.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. One time for all of the soldiers who never folded and did what they were supposed to do. It's only a chosen few that I can show devotion to. It's hard not getting emotional, cause you stayed solid despite everything you was going through. Was the definition to show and prove. Can't believe you're gone, but I know it's true. So I sing your song in the vocal booth. I wanna be close to you, so I pour out some liquor in the cracks of the concrete where the roses bloom. You was my ace since the playground. Dreamt of running this rap shit, giving the industry a shakedown. Standing at your grave mound, feeling guilty cause shit's starting to shake now. This ain't at all I was supposed to play out. Just know your memory is well protected. Rarely aggressive, but when it comes to the similes, I'm well respected. Pouring my soul through a pencil tip. If you listening, then I hope you appreciating the penmanship. Yeah. My soul through a pencil tip. If you listening, then I hope you appreciating the penmanship.
PC, what up? Let's appreciate this penmanship.
Yo, what's up? This is Daryl.
It's Rhea.
It's Paco.
It's Aja, and we're the Walls Group, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show, where I drove over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and of course, our official website, Stephen Knight Show. If you'd rather watch us, go to our YouTube channel. All right, so Adele truly is one of one when it comes to her style of singing. And the Rolling in the Deep singer recently opened up about her ability to portray sadness in her music in a way other artists may not be able to. In a recent interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Adele revealed that her sad girl personality has contributed to her being able to emotionally connect with her music. So much, Adele says, that other artists can't sing and surely cannot emulate her emotes. She said, I think that I am an incredibly sad person, and I think I inherited a lot of sadness, and I think that I'm a real empath, and I'm a real feeler, and I can't move on from things very easily. That's like I got a hollow legs, but it's just filled with the things that I think I'm getting over. And I think it hadn't affected me or things. Pretty much what she said was that people can't sing her song because she wrote the songs. So no one can sing the songs to the ability that she can because she wrote them. But of course, social media wasted no time and they posted her covering songs and it's out now, Adele. But people said now she ate on the songs that she covered. But do you think that there is something to what you embody in a song when you write it, Chike?
Of course. I do believe that, especially if you wrote it and it comes from a personal place, the delivery is going to be there because you're connected to it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes with certain artists, when they record it, like the first time that they record it, probably will be the best time and the only time you're going to get that kind of performance from it. Because it's that magical. Other people can do other people's songs and it sounds okay, but she has a point. I mean, no one will sound like her because it's truly an Adele song. Yeah. Can you imagine somebody singing Unbreak My Heart and they're never going to put on it what Tony puts on it? Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Oh, you know, Unbreak Respect. My Heart. You know, Unbreak My Heart was originally written for Celine Dion, but I go back to I Will Always Love You. Dolly Parton wrote that song, and it went number one for her in the 70s, but Whitney touched it.
True. However, but I have an argument for that one. It gained commercial success because Whitney Houston sung it, but it doesn't sound the same because Dolly Parton wrote it, and she sang it differently. It has a different kind of hurt to it.
Yeah. And Whitney sang it from a end of a relationship. Dolly sang it from a relationship, but it was a business partner relationship.
Yes.
So her long-term collaborator, they had moved on, and that's why she wrote that song. So it's interesting how people can, you know, what they take from a song. Linnea, what are your thoughts on this?
You know, as with music, the person that it comes from, mm-hmm. and Chike said it, in that moment and while that song was created, just like with an actor, I'm feeling whatever I felt in that moment to connect it to whatever I'm about to sing or whatever I'm about to act out. There's the connection. Different people, like how you guys are talking about Whitney and Dolly Parton, Dolly sung it for her intent.
Right.
It was a completely different reason than Whitney's intent was. Just like how the thing with Mary J. Blige, like, you know, when she was going through it, because them records back in the day, Mary had us in a chokehold because we felt it.
Exactly.
Like, we felt it.
Yeah.
So certain artists who you know when they're going through something because their music is about to be fire.
Yeah.
Or when they're happy and they're in a different space that reflects in the music that they give to us. But a majority of us, because we're so used to that rawness, like, damn, I wish she was hurt, but I don't want her to be hurt. But that's when she really gave it to me and I was not gonna cry. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. But then again, and Chike get this joke when I say it, then when you find out that we've been doing surprise, 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 surprise,
That lady done stole all Dionne Warwick songs.
I was disgusted when I heard that.
And Dionne, and the fact that Dionne Warwick posted the shade.
And reposted it.
But I love it. Yeah. So, but think about it. Back in the day when black artists did songs, who would come in and steal the song?
Make it a number one hit.
And make it a number one hit. Because they had the, you know, the machine. The machine. Behind.
Yep.
Perfect example. The Little Richard documentary is out on HBO. And they the person that they would always give his songs to was Pat Boone. Mm-hmm. And it's like mayonnaise, sriracha. Big difference.
Oh, it's true. It's true. It's very true. Especially back then. If you remember, what was the movie? Dreamgirls. Remember when Eddie Murphy had that song and then it went to the white gentleman to sing it?
Yep.
Number one hit. All right. Well, yeah, I do think interpretation is a big thing, you know, because Dolly Parton had, I think her I Always Love You went number one twice with her rendition, but we all know her from Whitney Houston because of her success in the movie. But I do think there is something to it when you write the song, because you know what you're getting across.
That connection is different. Yeah,
exactly. All right, well, a 26-year-old woman is in police custody after attempting to wipe Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s home off the map. Local Atlanta police arrested Lanisha Shatrice Henderson on December 7th outside the historic site in Auburn Avenue. She was charged with a criminal attempt for arson and criminal attempt to interface the government property. So apparently she was at the location. And you know, it's interesting. I saw it on the news last week. They have closed that location because they're going to do some remodeling of the location, Martin Luther King's childhood home. And she was on there. She had a 5-gallon can of gas can.
Mm-hmm.
And she was pouring it on the home, and she was pouring it on the shrubbery beside it. And two gentlemen who were visiting from out of state, they saw her and they stopped her. But she was arrested and detained, and she was, you know, treated for mental illness. They said that she wasn't aggressive when they stopped her, but definitely something was going on. And her parents, her family has said that she suffers from mental illness. And the first question someone asked me, was she black? She was black. What are your thoughts, Lanier? I know we can't always know what's going on with someone mentally ill, but what was the goal?
Of all the places.
Right.
You wanting to do something. And every time I come to Atlanta, that's one of the places that I visit. Because every time I go, this overwhelming sense comes over me when I visit that house.
Yeah.
That's why I go every time I go to Atlanta. And then when I go to the church, I just get this overwhelming sense of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the things for you, and I mean, she was throwing the gas on the porch, on the bushes.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and who stopped her? It was two cops, but they were on vacation, like on visiting Atlanta, and somebody else was filming. Who, you know, managed to wrangle her until Atlanta PD got there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand, you know, of all the places you could have done that to.
Yeah.
You get what I know we can't explain mental illness, but there's a whole lot of other places you could have went to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you wanted to make a point, I don't know, but not there.
Right.
They're already trying to erase our history. They are erasing our history bit by bit. Yep. Not there.
Yeah. Chicken, what are your thoughts about the story?
First of all, I'm going to just tell you straight up. I was so angry at the fact that she was a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
It made me so angry.
Yeah.
And has it made it to national monument status?
Yeah, that's why she's facing It's a major charge.
That's why she's facing federal charges. Like, that's there, the church, and the memorial that's out there.
Mm-hmm. So, I heard mental illness, but I do know in the legal world, people use mental illness sometimes to get out of getting certain charges. I'm not saying that the woman's not ill. I'm just saying if she is mentally ill, I hope they get her some help. If she's using it as a farce, I want them to throw the book at her. Like Lania said, we don't have too much of our history anyway.
Nope.
And you want to destroy it?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
This is a little aside. DeSantis debated Governor Newsom in California, I think last week.
Yes.
He tore him up.
He
said, you are trying to erase Black, LGBT. He said, you're not even doing it because you care. You're doing it because you're trying to make a point. And yeah, watch that. It's on TikTok.
You know they want him to run for president.
Yeah, he should. I think he should.
He's like, nah. Not I get why he don't want to.
Yeah, not this year. Not this cycle, but I think in 2028, he should definitely run.
Mm.
All right, so Diddy's name has been making headlines for the last few weeks. Another lawsuit involving a Bad Boys record head has hit the news. Another woman, this is the fourth person, has accused Diddy of sexual assault in the last month, has filed a lawsuit alleging that she was raped by Diddy and two other men in a recording studio in 2003. And the filing obtained by Rolling Stone. The then 17-year-old Jane Doe alleges that she was given copious amounts of drugs and alcohol before being taken across state lines 2 decades ago. The woman alleged that she was out with a friend at a lounge in Detroit when she was approached by Diddy's longtime associate, Harvey Pierre. Pierre allegedly told the woman that Diddy would love to meet her, invited her on an impromptu trip to New York on a private jet. The lawsuit alleges that the private jet took the teen, Pierre, and another unidentified man to the airport in New Jersey, where there was an SUV waiting to transport to Daddy's house recording studio. The teen alleges that she was given drugs and alcohol, and things became a blur before Diddy allegedly took her into the bathroom, removed her skirt, underwear, and penetrated her from behind. The suit alleges that Diddy and Harvey switched places and Diddy watched from the chair as Harvey penetrated her as well. Diddy has released a statement denying the allegations, saying that people are trying to destroy his reputation while looking for a payout. Now, mind you, he released a statement saying enough is enough, and he went on saying again that people were trying to get a payout, and then this story broke after that. So, Lania, do you see Diddy coming back from all this?
What I really want to say, I'm not going to say. So I'm going to say this. People are going to come out the woodworks at this point.
Yeah.
It ain't even got to be true. People are going to come out of the woodwork at this point. Mm-hmm. How you decipher whether or not it's true, I don't know how they're going to do that, because, you know, that statute of limitation, didn't it expire already?
Yeah, November 30th.
It expired last month. So, I saw a post and a girl was like, oh yeah, I'm about to get paid because, you know, I was with him too. But I'm looking, you at the Palladium back then, and I ain't going to hold you. I used to have fake ID too. So you got to deal with stuff like that. Like, if you was under 21, what was you doing at the Palladium around that time?
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact of, this is why celebrities don't like taking pictures with people no more.
Right.
Because a picture can turn into, oh, he tried to do X, Y, and Z to me. So this is going to be a whole shit show for a long time, because they're going to have to filter through
what's real and what's not. Now you got everything else coming out about, oh, he might have killed Kim. All kind. Listen, he ain't gonna be able to come back from this.
Yeah,
they're gonna take that, take that, take that.
Mm-hmm. And I think about Chingy. We had him on the show a few years ago, and you know, his career suffered. He just took a picture with a transgender woman, not knowing who she was. You know, she was a background dancer. Before he was on, and she went on and lied and said they had a relationship.
But they had sex,
and they didn't.
And I would assume.
And she later came back and said it didn't happen, but because it was already out there, and his career suffered. His career suffered. Yeah. Chike, Diddy's coming back.
So, in my travels, I've come across this thing called a Buddha. A Buddha.
Buddha.
And I think that Sean John Combs then traveled around somewhere and somebody then put a root on it.
Mm.
And I think that it's going to be incredibly hard for him to shake what's been put on him. Mm-hmm. And I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. He done somebody wrong, and until he repents about it, cries out about it to his very core, this is going to continue to ruin his life.
Yeah.
There's no coming back from this. He's forever changed. There's no coming back. The back is going to be different than what it was. He might as well find a new name while he's gone, because he's going to be something different.
Mm.
You know what's interesting about it all is that not one person has said he wouldn't do this. Everyone else has come out and said, oh yeah, of course.
That's the question. That was the question. There was a conversation. And this chick was like, I ain't seen Mary. I ain't seen X, Y, and Z come out and say nothing.
Nope.
In support of this man. Mace just went on a whole freestyle about it at a show that just happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really like going ham.
Can I say this? For certain individuals, according to their proximity to certain situations, they're never going to say anything, because you would have to explain how and why you know this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was watching the show when they were talking about, you know, his two bodyguards have come out against him, and they were actually cited in Cassie's lawsuit. That's why they've come out. Mm. And someone said, well, they couldn't come out. They worked for the man. That was their job. So,
but they don't work for him now, though.
Not now, like, right. Then that's why
they don't work for him now. So you don't come out now, right? But you wasn't a man back then.
And well, one said he's broken up fights. He's gotten involved. But they also said this, which I thought was interesting. If Cassie wasn't willing to come out, then why should they?
But why are you coming out now?
Because they were cited in the lawsuit.
I don't give two rats potatoes. Mm. You coming out now.
Also, if you're contracted to somebody, you're legally bound. Right. And I'm sure a lot of people couldn't say anything during that time because they signed that paperwork.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen. Now it's a free-for-all. Good. What were you about to say?
It's a free-for-all.
No, it is. It really is. Well, we can't go into the last story, but I want to say congratulations to Bronny James. He had his first game since he had cardiac arrest earlier this year. He played his first game. LeBron sung his praises and just proud of what he was able to do. They won the game. So shout out. You know, it was scary. You know, can you imagine someone that young having cardiac arrest? But he seems to be back. He's been cleared. So we're definitely sending our well wishes and thoughts. Before we go, what are your final thoughts? 2023, season 13. Chica, I'll let you start first. What are your final thoughts for the year?
Oh, just blessings, man. That's the best thing I can come up with. you know, through it all, roundabout, up and down, in and out, you know, the Creator's been there for me, for all of you, because we're all in a good space. We're still breathing, able to say hello and goodbye.
Amen.
You know, able to do dot, dot, dot. You know what I mean? So, my final thoughts is thankfulness and gratefulness, man.
Amen. Elania?
My final thought, I'm going to break it up. Definitely blessings. I appreciate the opportunity to do this, even when I didn't want to.
Right.
But that was because of my previous employer. But it's not a problem anymore. And I need to say to y'all, find your passion and your purpose, because then that will enable you to move in a way that you've never moved before. That's it. And then my son will be 31 on the 20th. So happy birthday,
My son.
And I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. And also going into 2024, I officially now have my own nonprofit called Let Our Voices Elevate, and it's going to center around mental health. The paperwork is completely done. Now I get to do the work. So
absolutely. Congrats.
Everybody have an amazing holiday and a great new year.
Absolutely. Congratulations. And I want to say I'm very grateful for you both. Nair, he's with us, you know, he's traveling always. But I'm very grateful for you all and couldn't do it without you. I love you all. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Season's greetings. And we come back. We have movie reviews with Chica and Adam. Good night. Well, go back. Right back. Right back after this.
Gotta be drunk, but lately I can't get enough. That good stuff, I feel the rush. Whatever you want, baby, trust you'll get it. So babe, stop wasting time and bring it. We fill with lust, our bodies thrust. Gonna knock the dust off that big dog. You can scream and cuss if it gets rough. Don't care if the neighbors fuss, let them hear it. Cause all of this right here is my shit. You know that's not just my passion, yeah. Ain't nobody else gonna hit me like that. I'm gonna dance like this. This, you know that claim to my period, yeah. There ain't nobody else I'm gonna be with. So I gotta drop my jacket, lock it. You know that make it loving me. So make it loving me. So make it loving me. So make it loving me. Vibing, bumping, Joe to see. Still having drinks, we in too deep. If you start touching on me, then you gon' get it. Cause babe, you know right now I'm twisted. You glanced at me, you smiled and winked. You better stop playing cause I'm a freak. But you still proceed, trying to kiss on me. But baby, I ain't got these lips for nothing. So babe, come get them and stop fronting. Yeah, baby, that's my shit, yeah. Ain't nobody else gonna be hitting it like that. I put it down like this. This, yeah, baby, I claimed it. Yeah, ain't nobody else I'm gonna be with. So I gotta lock it. Put it down. I claim this shit. Yeah, ain't nobody else gonna be with.
yeah, baby, yeah, yeah. Listen closely, I know I don't talk that fast. Get to know me, walk more slowly. Why you rushing, what's with that? I'm from Texas, heard my accent. I get that from most of y'all. What you missing, I can give it. Don't be fooled by how I talk. When I saw you walking by, I said, I gotta go get her. Cause I really, really wanna get to know you more better. Baby, I can drive your body like a Chevy with leather. I do it with pleasure. You need that country love. That get up in the morning, you're so funny, kind of love. That grits and bacon, baby, making country love. That stress, no problems with your mama, kind of love. You can't keep enough of that country love. That's all that you need. Little mama, what's with all the walking away and rolling your eyes? See you smiling, girl, you wild, and you know that you like my style. You so proper, ooh, showstopper, in the dirty, girls like you. It's treated official, what's the issue? I know that you want that too. When I saw you walking by, I said, I gotta go get her. Cause I really, really wanna get to know you more better. Baby, I can drive your body like a Chevy with leather. I do it with pleasure. You need that country love. That get up in the morning, you're so funny, kind of love. That grits and bacon, baby, making country love. That stress, no problems with your mama, kind of love. You can't get enough of that country love. That get up in the morning, you're so funny. Stress, no problems with your mama, kind of love. You can't get enough of that country love.
It's all that you need. And I don't care what you need about me. Girl, I can give, everything you need to give. When I saw you walking by, I said, I gotta go get it. Cause I really, really want to get to know you more better. Baby, I can drive your body like a Chevy with leather. I do it with pleasure. You need that country love. That get up in the morning, you're so funny, kind of love. That grits and bacon, baby, make you country love. That stress, no problems with your mama, kind of love.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, this is season 13 finale. You've been with us since season 2, I think.
Yeah.
And what's your takeaway?
You know, this has been a pretty good season. Not just for the Stephen Knight Show, but film-wise, we've had a lot of kind of good hits. I think over the year, we've seen this is kind of the maybe slowdown. I know we have one more superhero movie for the year, but this is, you know, Marvel's kind of taken its tumble. So we've seen kind of the downfall, not the downfall, but the downslide of Marvel films, superhero films are maybe moving on, but we're getting a lot of unexpected kind of hits, like the whole Barbie Oppenheimer thing I never even foresaw coming. So this year has been it's been a good year. It's been full of surprises, and especially in, at least in the film world, and you know, I'm excited to see what's next.
And you've been married how long now? It's been 2-3 years.
Yep, since 2019, so wow. 4 years.
Time's going by.
I know. Well, by. You know, those pandemic years, it's just like everything's a blur. So they count as 10 years. They count as 1 year. Who knows?
Right. Depending on who you're with.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we love Abby. We love Abby. All right. What did I call her before that one time I was embarrassed?
Oh, my gosh. Like Patrice or...
No, it was start with A.
Oh, but... yeah. Alexandra? No. No. I don't know, but...
but I know
it was not anything close to Abby, that's for sure.
It was. And y'all just looked at me.
And she said afterwards, is this your friend? I was like, well,
right.
Well, it's complicated. Yeah.
It's complicated, right. You don't know how he used to harass me when we used to work together. But
you hear that, Michelle?
I can believe it.
Adam just giving me hell, okay? And he just looks at you when he does it.
I'm innocent always.
Well, listen, I'll let y'all take away movie views.
Yeah, sure thing. So I saw actually the number 3 movie that came out or in the box office right now, which is Godzilla Minus One. And I talked about this last week, but it's a movie I was looking to see. It's been getting good reviews, really great Godzilla movie. So I decided to check it out. And it is a Japanese film, so all subtitles from the same studio that's been doing kind of the new Godzilla series. Storyline-wise or lore-wise, I don't know if it falls into any of the current lores. It's definitely not related to the American Godzillas. You know, we had Godzilla versus Kong earlier. It's a different universe, but that was a fun movie as well. So this is its own kind of segmented Godzilla movie. And it starts at the end of World War II, and we have our main character. He's a kamikaze fighter pilot who's decided to kind of abandon his post. He knows the war is over. He doesn't want to risk his life for this. So he goes to the small maintenance island. And while he's there, Godzilla attacks. And we get right into the action. This is within the first 5 minutes. This is not like our old Godzillas where we're waiting for him to appear after an hour. He is going in. He is tearing things up. People on the island, the small island, die, and he feels guilt because he couldn't save them. So now he goes back to the mainland, back to Tokyo, and, you know, it's the city's devastated. Everything's kind of in rubbles and shambles, and he meets a woman who has a child, which is not even her child, but again, survivors of post-war Japan. And they create this kind of family out of their lives and start rebuilding what's going on. All during this time, we get murmurs of Godzilla coming back, and it's up to him, not up to him, but he takes up the task to kind of fight Godzilla, help stop this trouble once and for all. And overall, it's a really good movie. It did surprise me. You know, I've heard good things, but they did a really good job of not just showing the Godzilla action, which I'll get to in a second, but like the human element. This is, again, a man with PTSD. He's struggling with the war. He's struggling with trying to find his place and trying to kind of live with those demons of his past and move on with his life. So you get a lot of human element in the story. But in addition to that, they throw in a lot of good action scenes. So when Godzilla goes to Tokyo, again, he's not slow moving. He is tearing things up, knocking down buildings, picking up subway cars. He is on a tear. And, you know, you see this in the trailer, but he also has his like famous laser ray that he, you know, warms up and gets ready to go. So if you're here for the action, you're going to get this. You're going to get a lot of Godzilla tearing things up. If you're here for a good story, you're going to get that as well. And I also like the setting because we're not dealing with lasers or anything else coming after Godzilla. These are like, you know, World War II battleships and World War II tanks, and it's really got that old school Godzilla feel in that sense, that they're really just giving their all to try to stop this monster. So highly recommend. Again, surprise movie for me. I didn't expect this to be so good for something like this to come at this time of year, but yeah, check it out.
So my question about, because you have me in, I'm hooked, I want to see it now. Mm-hmm. But do you think that this new series will be more of the human condition surrounding Godzilla being in the world of man?
Yeah, so that's a good question. It's so hard, and I, you know, each country has their own different mentality in filmmaking, and I don't know what the Japanese mentality will be for this. I know the last movie that the studio did called Shin Godzilla looks like it was kind of a, what's that movie where they do the camera and they're running around the city from the monster? It has a little bit of that style.
Live action.
Yeah, so it was giving you like that element of everyone's kind of running around and they're in the mix and you're actually seeing that part of it. So I think they could very well lean into that. We'll see where they go next. You know, obviously they destroy Godzilla at the end. No spoilers really there. You know, that's going to happen, but he's not dead. So he'll be back. And it'll be cool to see where they take the story. I do want to see a little more of the human element into it, but only if done well, because a couple of the recent American Godzilla movies were too much human interaction, not enough battles. And this one understood that, I think. You know, again, within 5 minutes, we're getting Godzilla tearing things up, but you still get to connect with the human characters.
Nice. Anything else?
No, that was it on my pipeline. I will mention this. So the number one movie, which I thought was interesting, is A Boy and a Heron. And this is Mizukiya's famous Japanese animated director's last movie after his last movie. He had kind of his final movie about a decade ago, and then this is kind of his swan song. And he's famous for Howl's Moving Castle and other movies of that story. Very legendary director. But this is the first Japanese animated film to open at number one in the U.S. box office. So that one is on my radar, too. That's a surprise. He has a history. You know, he has a legendary career. So the fact that this animated film came out, and, you know, timing is key, of course. You know, Aquaman's not for a few more weeks and other big releases. So they timed it just right. But I didn't get a chance to see anything else, but I do want to put that on my list.
Okay. All right. I saw Leave the World Behind, Netflix release with Julia Roberts, Ethan Hawke, Kevin Bacon, and Mahershala Ali. Can I just say A+ for the casting? Just before I even get started. Just A+ for the casting.
Is that a movie or is it a series?
So it's a movie. But I like what Netflix did. They put it in the theaters and they put it on Netflix. I enjoy that. They gave you an option. I will say, as a younger individual, not knowing anything, I used to get Ethan Hawke and Kevin Bacon mixed up back in the day.
Yep.
And I thought about that in watching this. I'm like, hey, my guys, like, oh, they are separate.
Yeah.
That's cool. That was cool. So this story is about two families that deal with the stress of series of events that appear to be either Armageddon, a war, or the end of times. We don't know. And I say brilliantly cast because all of these actors are seasoned and they are trained enough to be able to deliver the type of dialogue and the sensibility that a human being would have to go through during this time. And so you have a family who's renting a home for vacation, and then due to circumstances, the owners of the property have to come stay in the property. So they have to be there together, a white family and a black family. And so the movie plays well on the ideology of today and what's going on in the world today. And it also deals with sexuality and people being real under the human condition.
And I heard there was a CBC The steamy scene between Julia Roberts and
a steamy scene.
That's what I heard. I
gotta check this out.
I don't know what steamy is, but they definitely had chemistry.
Okay. So,
and I'm sure that purposefully that's what they were going for, and it worked.
Anything with Julia Roberts, I'm saying.
Say it again.
Anything with Julia Roberts, she's one that don't miss.
She's great.
Yeah,
she's great. And so, I mean, and also too, Kevin Bacon, he's no slouch. Ethan Hawke either, he's no slouch. They're not slouches. So
yeah, it's a great cast. Yeah, I agree.
And so I will say this. I'm not going to say spoiler alert because I'm not going to tell the ending, but there are films that may not please everyone because the outcome is not always what you expect. So therefore, people base that off of their total thought of the film, and they may cancel it because of that. I'm one that looks at the total overall film. I do think that to a degree, because this is Netflix, they were going for that Bird Box success again. They didn't quite get there, but this is still a good movie. I think Bird Box was a phenomenon, and it happened during a time when we were living in what was so-called being experienced on the screen. So it made it very unique. Nice try, though, Netflix, but I'm going to give you a B. But it's worth watching. Definitely check it out. The next thing I saw on Netflix is anime series, and it's a long series. It's like 3 chapters. Each chapter has 8 books, and it's Dota Dragon Blood. And it's an anime series on Netflix. Can I tell you that I was engrossed? I know nothing about the game. I heard nothing about this. I'm just flipping through. And I found it, and I decided to start watching it. And I got sucked in. The story is bananas. I can't even begin to tell you where it starts. But I'll say this. There is a warrior who becomes imbued with dragon blood. So he's half warrior. Well, he's actually a dragon slayer. He's half dragon slayer, and then he's half dragon. Phenomenal. It's anime. All the fight scenes are awesome. The dialogue is awesome. The artwork is superb. Definitely check it out. It's long. Like I said, it's 3 chapters. Each chapter has 8 books. So have at it. Took me the whole weekend to get through it, but nice. So awesome. So worth it. If you're into anime, you're going to be glued. Trust me. It's good.
Yeah, and you know, I saw a headline. Steven's shaking his head. Yeah, that is long. But you know, they say Netflix has become like. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by Netflix anymore. But like, they're becoming like the new king of animated animes. Like, they're making so many high quality animes just coming out one after another. So,
Let me ask you two this question. So, Netflix has gone up once again their price. But they justify it with the content they're creating. Do you think it's worth it?
I'll probably still use it because we watch a lot of like shows we've seen before, reruns and stuff like that on it. I think so. They keep surprising us because they're doing good on the animes. You know, they were getting into the Korean dramas and the Korean movies, you know, Squid Games. They're kind of ahead of the curve on a lot of these trends. And of course they have the data to like kind of predict what's going on next. So I think if you're looking for like kind of new, unique stuff that you may not put on your radar, probably worth it. If you're looking for what you usually like, then, you know, you might want to move on to something else, but, you know, I mean, it's probably can't be any more than the Apple TV subscription. So you might as well just keep your Netflix and not worry about.
I canceled Apple because it's, you know, my show's over. Chike, what are your thoughts?
So I think Netflix puts out pretty good quality film. Mm-hmm. But I would challenge them to add a section where it is strictly independent, maybe of the lower budget film. Just a like section prom. For them. How say it again?
Like prom, like a prom.
Maybe, yeah, but maybe a little bit more better quality than Prime. But okay. Give more independent new artists an opportunity to step up and deliver something. Mm-hmm. Maybe a two-picture deal if you like the first one. Just something yeah. small to start them out. Netflix, you heard it here first. Just make a section. It doesn't even have to be included in the rest. Let us be able to go to another section to be able to find those films.
Yeah.
So the other artists don't feel like they're, you know, in association with something lesser than what they've, you know, make yeah. it elite.
What I'll say about Netflix too, one thing's very frustrating is like their navigation's fine for what you like or the common things, but man, yeah, I wish there was a better way to like organize based on like smaller independent films, and you can't really do that in the app. You know, you're stuck with the mm-hmm. main categories, and you could search, but I wish there was just a way to customize your categories to maybe there's stuff like that out there no one will ever know because they promote, you know, Love is Blind season whatever over and over again. So
I'm hating.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I want more variety, and to Chige's point, they should put it in there, and maybe it is in there. We don't know it because Netflix's way their menu system navigate. Works is yeah, is a pain.
Yeah. And I will say too that they're doing a great job with the algorithms by referring stuff to me mm-hmm. that they think that I like. They're pretty much on the nose with that. Thank you, Netflix. So, and the last film that I saw is also on Netflix. It's called Naiad, starring Annette Bening and Jodie Foster. And it's a story about Diana Naiad, who is Olympic gold medalist, who is a swimmer. And her goal was she wanted to swim from Miami, Florida from the Keys to Cuba. That was her goal. And she's made several attempts to do it. I think it was three attempts to do it. And it went through how grueling it was for her to gear up to do that, how her ego got in the way. She's fighting the human condition. And Jodie Foster plays, you know, her coach and also her best friend. And their whole relationship takes a metamorphosis. It's a really good human condition film. And what I loved so much, because I hear female artists talk about this all the time, how there aren't any roles for women of a certain age or women of a certain color, or so on and so forth. And it was nice to see two women of a certain age in such a powerful film delivering the best that they have with each other. It was just great to see that. So there's hope for projects like that. Just have to mm-hmm. make them.
I saw Jodie Foster had a new movie out, and it was good to see her because when was the last time we saw her in the movie?
Well, this was the last time I saw her in a movie. It was this year, earlier this year. Yeah, this is new.
But I'm saying prior to that, I hadn't seen her in a movie in a while.
So I purposely watched this film on purpose so I could talk about her because mm-hmm. she's been a dope woman since she was a young girl. She was a kid killing
what's
it.
What's my movie? What's the escape room?
Taxi Driver? No.
Is it her?
I know what you're talking about. Panic Room.
Panic Room. Oh, yeah. That movie. Yeah.
I know her from The Little Girl That Lives Down the Lane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was killing people.
Yeah.
But I bring her up because I know you're going to ask me what am I looking forward to. HBO is, well, excuse me, Max is starting mm-hmm. another True Detective season.
Yeah.
And it's Jodie Foster starring in it. So
okay.
I'm very excited about that.
Because
I know she's going to direct a couple episodes. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. We missed her.
Yeah.
So what is coming out of the pipeline other than this HBO or this Max?
I don't know if I'm really interested in Aquaman. I don't know how I feel about that. I could actually take it or leave it, even though, you know, I love my superheroes. But mm-hmm. it's the last one of a throwaway era. Like, they kind of just threw this film at us. I don't know how much they're going to put into it. I don't even know if it's really going to pertain to any other storyline at this point. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to expect from it.
But, yeah. Same
the color
idea.
Purple.
Yes.
The color purple.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've heard it's getting rave reviews. Maybe from critics
It better. Yeah. It's Oprah Winfrey.
And Olympic, but they said that I love Oprah. But they said that Fantasia kills it.
Good. She deserves it. She deserves it.
What about you, Adam? What's coming down the pipeline?
Yeah, kind of the same thoughts. Aquaman looks fine, but I agree with Chiki. I think if you're just, you need a movie to go to see with the family on Christmas or around the holidays, and it has to be a popcorn movie, go see that one. But The Color Purple also comes out on Christmas, so
yeah,
that one would probably be the preferred choice. I don't think I'm really into the Wonka movie, but you know, they're doing kind of an origin story or a young Willy Wonka with Timothy Chalamet. Really? That comes out next week. But yeah, I think really the end of the year is going to be just, you know, a few of these small things or Aquaman. So,
well, I know I'll be watching. You know, I haven't had my time. I've only seen two Christmas movies this season, but now the show is done.
You're going to watch them all.
I want to see the little one.
Well, you better post
Christmas Lane. Check that one out with Eddie Murphy. Check that one out.
Oh yeah, I want to see that one too.
Yeah.
Also, too, Adam, what is the name of that movie that's supposed to be coming out on Netflix by Zack Snyder? I can't think of the name of it.
Oh no, you're right. So film. I will say that's on my radar, and I usually look up for upcoming stuff IMDb, so that's why I didn't pop up on my list. But yes, there is a new Zack Snyder movie coming out at December. It's like a part one, and I know you talked about it a few weeks ago.
I can't think of the name of it right now.
And he's had a lot of duds lately, but I have a feeling this one's going to be good. So
I have a feeling too. He has something to prove.
Yeah, he's got to get back on after I think Army of the Dead was the last one he did, and I don't think it was that good if I remember correctly. But this one's called Rebel Moon.
Yeah, thank you.
I say y'all are the worst critics. Y'all go too hard. But
we're the best critics, Steven.
Before we separate, I have to say to my co-host Adam, I appreciate you, brother. You hold it down. I've always, from the beginning when we first started interacting with each other, I've always loved your banter. You give it as good as you get it. And I love that.
Well,
y'all Chiki's... both mean.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Steven.
Y'all both mean, but go ahead.
No, Chiki, it's the same. You know, I agree. It's been great. It's been a great year working with you, you know, as always. And I do like our banter. I like our kind of different views and doing different things, and you see things I don't even have on my radar sometimes, and I'm not a horror person, so it's good that you capture all those horror films. So it's good back and forth, and you know, it's always good. You're like Steven said, it's fun not to be mean to Steven, you know, it's the Christmas spirit, but it's always fun to see what he's watching, because
Adam, why do y'all give me such a hard time for Big Brother?
I know, I love, because you know what, I don't want to give you a hard time, because I know people watch that show. There's a reason they're popular and they're still on. And, you know, my mom will watch this, so I'll say, you know, she's always like, why are you so mean to Steven? He's telling you a story, and you said, oh, we've heard this one already, Steven, last week. Why do you have to? I was like, I said, this is because this is what the audience demands. We need.
I just love my perspective. I speak from her.
So she's in your corner, Steven. But
thank you, Mom. Thank you.
Yeah. But no, this, it's been a wonderful year with you all.
It always is. I appreciate both of you. I really do.
And Steven, a salute to you, brother. Thank you for allowing me to come on your platform and play with you, and have fun here.
I couldn't do it without y'all.
That's true.
But listen, thank you for always letting us know what to spend our time and our money on and what not. And we're right back after this.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
La la la, yeah. Oh, la la la, yeah. Slowly, slowly over time. Skipping heartbeats feels just fine.
Hey, this is Dr. Steve Perry, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. It's Sustainable Home Goods. So it's ethically made artisan goods in Pond City Market, Cerebe, and online. So decorate your home with some of the most stylish and ethical home goods here in ATL. Expect everything from plant pots to flowers, ceramics, and candles. Go to the link in the bio. We'll have where you can buy all this stuff. Again, it's called Sustainable Home Goods. I want to thank you so much for rocking with us season 13. And we'll see you again next season 14 in January. Good night.